السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, listeners, as you may be aware, during this month of Rabi'ul Awwal in this masjid, we are running a series on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And each one of the Fridays during this month, a different speaker has been allocated a different topic. It was actually Maulana Ubaidullah who was supposed to be here speaking to you today on the topic of the selflessness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, Maulana had to then attend a conference out of town, and Mauli Saeed felt that I would be an appropriate sub. I don't know if I'll make it to the category of super sub. Normally they say, you know, only when the incumbent has a concussion, then you can have a super sub. So Maulana has had no concussion, alhamdulillah. He's just gone for a conference. I will obviously speak on the very same topic that was allocated, because that was what was advertised, and mashallah, there's a lot of thought that goes behind these themes and these topics from the broader team here at Nurul Islam. And therefore, it would only be appropriate, even though I'm speaking in somebody else's place, that I speak on the same topic that was allocated. So let's start off with a definition. When we say selfless, it's obviously the opposite of selfish. Selfish is a quality that is condemned. It's a negative quality. And to be selfless is a praiseworthy quality, and it's something worthy of acknowledgement. So to be selfless means that you are concerned more about the well-beings of others than you are concerned about your own well-being. And that right at the beginning is the crux of this discussion. There's a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يبلغ مؤمن حقيقة الإيمان, that a believer cannot reach the essence of iman until you don't love for the next man what you love for yourself in terms of goodness. You see, when you want goodness only for yourself, then that is being selfish. Although desiring it for yourself in itself is not wrong, but when you want it exclusive to you, then that is being selfish. And when you're willing for others to have it in equal measure, if not in greater measure, then that is being selfless. And that's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we want to unpack today. And I'm going to share with you six qualities of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which talks to his selflessness. And let us all sit with the intention that when I leave here today, Allah grant me the tawfiq to become more selfless and less selfish. We live in an era where selfishness is the currency of the day. I used to say it humorously, but I think now it's becoming more of a reality. There was a time when a man worried about himself, his wife and his family only. Now there's a time when a man worries only about himself. Even the wife and children, if it happens, it happens. But hey, me. You want to gauge the level of selfishness in the ummah, look at how we park. We can't wish for the next man what we wish for ourselves in terms of a parking spot. You want to see the selfishness of a Muslim? Look at when you have to queue when you're going for Umrah or you're going for Hajj. Those very basic things talk to us about what's really in there. So the first quality from the six that talks to the selflessness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the concern that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in his heart for others. You know, when there's an occasion, we know how to fake it. Let somebody collapse here, not that we want anybody to collapse, and we all become doctors and we're all activists and we're all, you know, around him. And then as soon as the crowd has disappeared, we also disappear. So when there's an occasion, when there's the spotlight, then we all know how to show concern or to feign concern. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had genuine concern in his heart. And you know what's the sign of genuine concern? Is when you make dua in privacy. When you make dua in privacy, sometimes we speak, we say, hey, you know that man, you heard his son's marriage broke. Hey, you know that man, you heard he got caught in this. Now, you say it with a tone that you're pretending to be concerned. But if you're really concerned, did you pick up your hands at night in the musalla and make dua for him? Now, if you look at this in the context of Rasulullah ﷺ, the famous incident, Nabi ﷺ reads a verse from Surah Ibrahim, that on the day of Qiyamah, Ibrahim ﷺ will say to Allah, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ. These idols have deviated many people. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Whoever followed me, they saved. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي. But those who didn't follow me, Allah, I can't say anything. All I'm saying, فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. You are most forgiving, most merciful. Then he reads the verses of Surah Ma'idah, where Isa alayhi salam on the day of Qiyamah will say to Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Allah, if you punish them, they're your servants, you have all the right. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But Allah, if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then you are the mighty, the wise. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeats this ayat, and he repeats this ayat, and he's crying, and he's tearing, and the grief is pouring, and the emotions are manifest. And Allah says, Jibreel, ask my Nabi, what will make him happy? I'm giving you the abridged version of the story. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I'll only be happy when the last of my ummah is in Jannah. We were not even born. We were not even born. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already had concern for us. Genuine, sincere concern. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became depressed because revelation had stopped for a long period of time, then Allah reveals Surah Duha. And Allah says, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Famous incident, I'm just highlighting the lessons. That, oh my Nabi, don't be depressed. I will give you so much until you become happy. Allah doesn't say how much. Allah just says, I'll give you so much until you become happy. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately says, Allah will never be happy until the last of my ummah is in Jannah. That is genuine love and concern in the heart for every Muslim. Right till literally the last breath. Allahumma ummati, ummati, Allahumma ummati, ummati. So, that's the first of six qualities, to have genuine love and concern for everyone. That's a sign of selflessness. The second is generosity. To give if you have, and more so to give if you don't have. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't have, we know. Yet, and I'm giving you again just the shortened versions of the incidents. It's about the point that I want to highlight. After the conquest of Hunayn, for the first time now, there's a significant amount of booty. So, you know how we feel in life. You know, whole life you're hustling, right? You can hardly make the rent. You're just watching other people going for Umrah, going for Hajj, Maldives, Zanzibar, here, there. And you know, it's like there's a pain in your heart. And then one day Allah opens up for you. Allah opens your takdir. Now what you say? It's my chance to enjoy. All these years I saw other people going for holidays, flashy cars, big functions, smart houses, their children were dressed to the nines, and I had to make some nice night time to enjoy. Look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's approach. All the sacrifice of Makkah, all the difficulties of Medina. When the wealth came at Hunayn, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not selfish. Even though he would have had a right to say, okay, now I'm in the latter part of my life, let me enjoy. Let those Sahaba who left everything and sacrificed everything to enjoy. No, it was the newcomers. Those who had just entered the deen, or those whom Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to coax to enter the deen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave Safwan ibn Umayyah 100 camels. You know what's 100 camels? It's like giving 100 vehicles. Then he gave him another 100. And then he gave him another 100. I mean, after 20 years of difficulty and hardship, yeah, you got wealth now. For the first time, the wealth is coming in. 100 camels, another 100, another 100. Not for Abu Bakr, not for Umar, not for Uthman. Safwan ibn Umayyah, he says, when I received this from the Prophet of Allah, instantly from being the man I hated the most, he became the man I loved the most. You see the barakah of selflessness. You'll give material, but Allah will give you in return in this world as well as in the akhirah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so selfless. Another famous incident. There was a mentally deranged woman who came to the Nabi of Allah and said, I need to see you. I got work with you. What will we say? Hey, bye, you know what? Make an appointment. And I'm not justifying what we sometimes do. We sometimes inconvenience our scholars. We catch them at a moment when his wife is waiting for him. You know, delay the wife, what happens to the poor man? Molvi or not? Mufti or not? Right? Now you want to cause it for him. Sometimes a man is not well. Sometimes he's tired. Now you come with your long masalas. And you already know all the answers. And he give you the answer. And you got a counter argument. I'm not condoning that. But what I'm saying is, generally speaking, this doesn't only apply to ulama. All of us, to make time for others. Look at Hanabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded and said to this lady, okay, you tell me which side of the road you want me to wait for you, and I'll wait for you and I'll take care of your need. A mentally deranged woman. So generosity in wealth is one thing, but generosity in spirit is a greater thing. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be tired, whole night in Ibadat, after Fajr, oh my sahaba, anyone saw a dream? Let me interpret your dream for you. Because you know, when you see a dream, even if it's a good dream, it disturbs you now. You want to know what is the interpretation of this dream. If you see a bad dream, it's even worse. Sahaba used to bring water, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to immerse his fingers for barakah. It gets cold in Medina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hands would start shivering, but he never turned back even one sahabi. He was generous not only with the wealth. Oh Abu Zar, if Allah gives me the equivalent of Mount Uhud in gold, I won't spend the night except that we distribute it, except that we give it. Besides that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was generous in spirit. He was willing to forgive people. He was willing to give his time to people. Nowadays, the man will figuratively, there's no more checks, but figuratively, he'll cut you out the check, but he can't give you 5 minutes. He'll see you at the door. Don't worry, your parcel is coming, but I'm quite busy now. Your parcel will come, but I'm busy now. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the wealth and he gave his time. He made time for people as busy as he was. That's the second. The third, and we're talking about the selflessness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One, at heart, he cared for everyone. Genuine care. Cared for us even before we were born. The second, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was generous with wealth and with time. The third is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the service of people. He was in the service of people. That's a sign of selflessness. When you selfish, you want people to serve you. When you selfless, you serve people. In reward, Allah will make mankind serve you and the angels will serve you in akhirat. It'll come. Just your intention must be right and your approach must be right. Not you sit back entitled, nah, they must come to me. Why? Because I have wealth, or I have knowledge, or I have position, or I have authority. No, I serve humanity. In return, Allah will make humanity at my service. Allah will put humanity at my service. So whether it was physical labor, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself got involved in constructing Masjid al-Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in digging the trench, whether it was in resolving disputes, whether it was in giving guidance, whether it was in attending to those who had need. Anas radiallahu anhu says, never was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever asked anything for the cause of Islam except that he met the request. Except that he gave what was required, if it was wealth, or it was his time, or it was his service. That's why Allah had to caution Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ. Oh my Nabi, take it easy. Don't destroy yourself. Don't destroy yourself in trying to service humanity. فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ. Allah is consoling him from the heavens. Allah is guiding him from the heavens and put the brakes on it a little bit. Such was the spirit of wanting to service the creation of Allah. Not only Muslims, not only humans. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at all of humanity, every creation of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. He looked at orphans. He told the Sahaba, the best house amongst the Muslims is the one where the orphan is well treated. The worst house is the one where the orphan is badly treated. The first animal rights activist was none other than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh my Sahaba, don't overwork your animals. Don't overwork your animals. I don't know if it'll apply to the trucks and the buckies of today. Sometimes when you see them on the road, it's like, hey, you know, this is a type of zulam, man, even though it's not a living creature. It's like the back is almost touching the ground. You don't want to make a second load and incur the cost of a second round of fuel, so you put the whole house on the first load. But those were living creatures. Oh my Sahaba, take it easy with your animals. They'll also complain to Allah. They also have rights over you. They're traveling, the Sahaba play with the baby chicks, the mother becomes a little bit, you know, worried. Don't inconvenience the mother. No, we're just playing, Ya Rasulullah. Don't inconvenience the mother. The mother doesn't understand you're just playing. The mother thinks you're taking the children. The mother thinks you're going to cut the chicks and she's going to lose her kids. You're putting her in difficulty. Who takes a chick, a small baby chicken, who takes that seriously?
Yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advocating their rights. He's advocating their rights. He told us, be careful, even about your domestic animals. There was a pious woman who ended up in Jahannam because she locked up the cat and the cat couldn't eat. There was a pious woman who ended up in Jahannam because she locked up a cat and the cat couldn't eat. What was the last thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us? Look at how service-minded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. In terms of the rights of Allah, my ummah, alaykum bis salah, your salah. The last words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Your salah, that's your spiritual responsibility, number one. Wa ma malakat aymanukum. And those who are under you, your wife, your children, your employees. Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la. Now I meet Allah. Service to humanity, the third quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which talks about his selflessness. The fourth quality was compassion. Compassion. Today we've become like machines, you know, in this mechanical age. We don't have a heart, man, you know. The old people used to say, have a heart. There was a very deep meaning to that English expression, that have a heart. Allah Himself says, I'll just suffice with this, in terms of this point. لَقَدَ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ A Nabi has come to you from amongst you. He's a human like you. In another dialect, in another qirat, مِّنْ أَنفَسِكُمْ From amongst the best of you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ Your difficulty is his difficulty. He doesn't have an approach, your problem, not my problem. Your circus, your monkeys, not mine. No, no. Your problem is my problem. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ He's more desirous for your well-being than you are for your own well-being. And that is in reference to Muslim and non-Muslim. And when it comes to Muslims, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَغُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ Most compassionate, most merciful to Muslims. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had that inward concern, the first quality which I spoke about, and he had deep compassion for every creation of Allah. Without compassion, you can't be selfless. Without compassion, you'll only be selfish. He'll only be selfish. And then there's a variety of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where you see the compassion. The women are in the back of the masjid, the baby cries, the namaz is shortened. The compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Mu'adh radiallahu anhu lengthens the salah, Mu'adh, no, too long, too long. People are working, take it easy. Various examples in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where you see the compassion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the fifth quality that talks to us about the selflessness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the sacrifice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, there is no man in the history of humanity that has suffered more than I have suffered. But let me tell you, brother, something, and I can't speak from experience. I thank Allah, I haven't suffered much in my life, but we hear from the elders. If there's no suffering and qurbani, then you don't see results. Look at any person who's excelled spiritually. I'm not talking of materially, but even materially. That man who's the number one on the Forbes list is working 18 hours a day. He'll tell you, I got enough stab wounds in my back. Corporate stab wounds. Look at every effort of deen. There was sacrifice. There was tremendous sacrifice. It's the system of Allah. When you are selfless and you sacrifice, Allah gives you profile, Allah gives you legacy. Allah gives you success in this world as well as in the after. I mean, again, a famous example. What I'm telling you is nothing that you haven't heard before. It's about just bringing that central point home. Imagine for 3 years. For 3 years, I was speaking at the IMA conference on Sunday, and I made this point about emotional challenges that even the Ambiya had to face after emotional challenges. The topic was mental health. And I said, see, for 3 years, a father has to see his youngest daughter. You know, normally your youngest child then becomes your dikru, na? So his youngest daughter, the apple of his eye, the queen of the women of Jannah, for 3 years, there's no food in the valley of Abu Talib. She screams out of hunger. Her voice echoes in the valleys of Abu Talib. So he sees his daughter, then he must look at his wife, the most affluent woman of the Quraysh, and what she's going through because of his mission. His own uncle who's not a Muslim, but what he's going through because of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mission. And after those 3 years, Khadija radiallahu anha passes away. And then Abu Talib passes away. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to Taif, and we all know what happened in Taif. And the historians refer to that as Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached an emotional low because of these difficulties. But when he made that qurbani because of his selflessness, that I'll give my life, I'll sacrifice my family, I'll sacrifice my my wealth, I'll sacrifice everything for the ummah. When he put it on the line, then Allah took him to the highest of the high. That's when Mi'raj took place. That's when he went to the Sidratul Muntaha and beyond. That's when he went to even Jibreel could not go. Because he was selfless. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was willing to make that sacrifice. Aisha radhiyallahu anha asked him once, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when was the most difficult moment? Was it Taif? Was it Uhud? When, you know, think of all of these incidents, the best of Allah's creation. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the sacrifice because he was selfless. You have to sacrifice for the benefit of others. Then you will benefit, they will benefit, and the community and the ummah will prosper. If everyone is selfish and only for himself, no one prospers. Because you can't prosper in isolation, and others can't prosper if selfishness is the currency of the day. And that's where we're forgetting. We're making money, we're accumulating wealth, we're enjoying material comforts, but we are lacking in true success as an ummah because it's each one for himself. No one is willing to do for the cause more than they do for themselves. No one is willing to sacrifice and say, I'll take the burden on behalf of the community, on behalf of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So until we don't come on selflessness and we remain on selfishness, we won't succeed and the ummah won't succeed. The last of the six qualities that talk to us about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam selflessness. Remember the first I said was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had genuine concern for everyone in his heart. The second, he was generous with wealth and with his time. The third was, he was in service of others, the entire creation of Allah. The fourth was that he had compassion for everyone. And the fifth was that he made sacrifice. The sixth is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led by example. And you just have this one incident which I will share with you and conclude. When the Sahaba had one stone tied to their bellies, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had three. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had three. He walked the talk. So I started off with this and I'll end with this. To be selfless, which is the topic for today, as part of the series in Rabiul Awal, the four Jummas on the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to be selfless means you must care more for others than you care for yourself. The essence of Iman is you wish well for others in terms of goodness, just like you wish for yourself, if not better than yourself. So let's take that inspiration. Try and help a random person each day. Whether it's water to someone at the robot, or whether it is a 5 rand to somebody who needs a loaf of bread. Make yourself available for family and friends as a start, then for others. Be patient with others. Show empathy. Listen to others. We know how to talk. We can tune, but listen to others when they want to vent their frustrations, when they want to express their sentiments. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Let others be the center of attention for a change. Not every time anybody's talking about something, you need to bring it back to yourself. You've got one better story on that topic. Let others enjoy some spotlight. Don't have rewards in mind when you help others. Only have the pleasure of Allah in mind. Now, if I help this man, you know, okay, he'll be indebted to me tomorrow. Maybe he can help me. He's an electrician. So, you know, electricians are expensive these days. So, if I help him with this tomorrow, Mike, he's got a problem. He's there for me. No. We mustn't be transactional. Just do for the pleasure of Allah. Do without any expectation in return. Do for the greater good. Then see how you will prosper. And then see how humanity will prosper. Because so beautifully in English they say, you don't need a reason to help people. You don't need a reason to help people. Nothing liberates our greatness like the desire to help and the desire to serve. The more selfless service you do, the more successful you will be. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.